So, Peter, we're still at the Political Studies Association conference on the end of day one, and you've just launched for the third time, I believe, in a different locality, your book, Defining Democracy, Voting Procedures, Decision-Making, Elections and Governance. You spend quite a lot of your life actually talking to people about trying to get them to use better voting systems than just first past the post. Tell us a bit about what's in the book.
Basically, it does concentrate on decision making. It's a funny fact of life, but lots of people, when you talk about voting, automatically think about electoral systems. And we know we have first past the post and PR and a few other things. When it comes to decision making, there is an idea, it's almost an E-Day fix, that it has to be by majority vote. And yet there are lots of ways that you can make decisions by voting if there are more than two options on the table.
So it could be decision-making in terms of like a cabinet or a meeting or something that's actually quite run-of-the-mill as opposed to just an electoral representative.
You can be talking about anything at all, but there are more than two ways of planning a constitution, building a factory, running an economy, running an education system, whatever it is. And if you have more than two options on the table, then you should have the multi-option vote. Now, Robbie, they tried to reform the House of Lords a few years ago in the House of Lords, and they had five options on the agenda, and on the table anyway. And they thought about this, and they thought, well, we'll have to take five majority votes. And they took five, and they lost the lot. But one of those five was bound to have been more popular than the other four. But you can't identify that if you do by majority votes. And Robin Cook then tried to introduce preference voting, and he failed. And he was asked about this, and he said, that's because to do so would have required the technology, I quote, of a pencil and a piece of paper, which was far too much for this medieval parliament. But it's the same here. Belfast City Council. If you go up to the chamber, the only two bits of modern technology that they have up there are the light bulb and the microphone.
And now a webcam on the ceiling.
Yeah. Oh, is it going to...
the stream online. But why do organisations and people and also, I guess, democracies find it so difficult to get away from just first past the post?
To get away from majority voting?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Politicians don't want to move away from it because if you have majority voting, then somebody has to choose the question. And everybody likes to be in control, certainly politicians. The thing that I do find extraordinary is that there are so many academics and journalists, and if I may talk about your own profession, and they do not question majority voting. There was a professor from Scotland talking about referendums, can they be fair, in Queen's University the other day. And I'd written to him beforehand, and he pretended that they all had to be majority vote, even though some countries have had multi-option referendums. New Zealand had five options when they were talking about their electoral system. Guam had six when they were talking about their constitution. Multi-option voting is perfectly possible, but politicians want to retain control. Therefore, they won't discuss it. And for some reason, there are some academics, I don't know why, but they also pretend that it has to be majority vote, and either simple or weighted or consociational, as we now have here. But it's, as I mentioned, it is the most inaccurate measure of collective opinion ever invented. It's 2,500 years old, and it really ought to go.
In terms of if we were to apply what you have in the Red Book here to, say, Northern Ireland, and the context we have here, what are some of the ways that you would suggest that they could be applied in the kind of structures we have and the kind of decision-making we have?
In local council or up in Stormont or wherever you get decisions being made, or even in community groups, in businesses, in schools, in sports clubs, wherever people come together to make decisions, if the issue involved is controversial, then, if you live in a plural democracy, it is almost certain that there are more than two options on the agenda, on the table. And if that is the case, then you allow for the possibility of a multi-option vote. And if everybody votes and says, OK, that's my first preference, that's my second, that's my third, and whatever way they like, then you can find that option, which is the highest average preference. This is a non-majoritarian system. In politics, most decisions, people talk about majority rule, and it does tend to alienate the minority. And just because I'm 51% and you're only 49, does this mean I always get my way and you can just go to blazes? But with this consensus voting, as we call it, you're talking about the average opinion, the average highest preference. An average, that means everybody. And it's a much more inclusive structure. And it, the answer might be the first preference of very few. But if it's the second preference of everybody else, well, that'll do. You know, and I said, let's just go with that. So we would argue that this should be used. It can be used electronically as well. I mean, these days, electronic zappers and things, it should be perfectly possible. So we're saying that multi-option voting should be used when appropriate in all local councils and in the Northern Ireland Assembly. And we're also suggesting that the idea of a referendum on the what I call the neverendum, you have this 7-year itch and you have it, and if you lose and you lose and you lose, and then eventually you win. No, that's not the way to do things. Let's have a multi-option. There must be more than two ways of doing things. It is controversial. We all know that. There are emotions that will be raised. And they have this consociational voting up in Stormont. They know perfectly well that you couldn't have consociational voting in the province as a whole because you would need two separate electoral registers. And then what happens about children of mixed marriages, like myself and the countless others?
There'll be a pile of people who couldn't.
That's right. So it wouldn't work there. Now, we're suggesting that the consociational arrangement that they've got up in Stormont basically is perpetuating sectarianism, and it's giving more power to the sectarian than it is to the non-sectarian and so on. So we're suggesting that, right, let's, on those occasions where it is contentious, go to multi-option voting, and then you don't need labels or designations or party distinctions or anything at all. You just have your vote, and if it gets a certain sufficient level of consensus, then that's okay.
And how would you rate your chances that they'll ever take you up on this and actually see
chance? One fine day they will, because computers are now, everybody has computers. And so to have a computer in the assembly or local council and not to use it would be just silly. So one of these days it is going to happen. But I want to
have
see.
Have you ever tried to get them to even just kind of role play it? And
oh, yeah.
Practice?
I role played in Belfast City Council a few years ago. And we did. It was just at the time when they were deciding who was going to host the 2012 Olympics. So I got five of these councillors, and I said, "Okay, you're French, you're Spanish, you're Russian, you're American, and you're English, and I want you to vote as if you were from where you are." And they were sitting. This wasn't upstairs in the debating chamber. This was downstairs in one of their committee rooms. So they were sitting on either side of a table, and then behind each side were two plasma screens. And I was to one side on the computer panel, and I could show them how they voted. I could feed the votes into the computer. They could all see how this was working, how easy it was, and then everybody hangs around for a nanosecond, and out comes the answer. I mean, it's perfect. And I then said to these folks, you could become the first democratically elected chamber in the world, not just these islands, in the world, to have electronic multi-option voting. And then they asked me to leave the room while they debated this. And then basically one side looked at the other side and said, do we really want to be in consensus with lemons? No, we don't.
Not good for the remedy.
So I achieved consensus. There was a consensus against consensus, and they said bye-bye.
Finally, where do people, if they don't read the book, where else can they find out some more about these kind of ideas?
Oh, it's on the website.
Which is?
Deborda, www.deborda.org. And it's all there.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank
and
you.
All the best.
Thank you very much.